Unitarian Universalists covenant with one another, that is, we promise one another, that we will recognize and honor the interdependent web of existence. That's the seventh principle of our faith. If you have an order of service, you can look at the back. And that means that we promise one another that we will recognize how our actions affect other people and the earth. We promise one another that we will remember that we are connected to all of existence. And the seventh principle reminds us that our actions matter, not because they will determine whether we go to heaven or to hell, but our actions matter because what we do and say are important because we are connected to everything else in existence. And there are so many different lenses that we can look at our seventh principle through and hear how it's calling us to live. But in belated honor of International Women's Day, we're looking at our seventh principle today through the lens of women's equality. And this day of recognition that the United Nations came up with in the 1970s is really just an opportunity to take stock of women's existence in the world today and help us all take a moment to examine how our thoughts and actions, big and small, are either contributing to shaping a world of equality or not contributing to shaping a world of equality. Now, when I think of the interdependent web of existence, I tend to think of it as a positive thing. But of course, there are negative aspects to all of existence being connected. And climate change is a very strong example of that. So we have to keep in mind that negative things can be spread through the web of connection as well. And there, the idea that men have more worth than women has spread through history, art, science, religion, the human web of connection for a very long time. And the message that men have more worth than women isn't always spelled out exactly in those words. The message comes through in all kinds of ways, including entertainment. The last time I was visiting my grandparents, my grandma's 93, I came across this collection of old radio shows on CD. And one of the shows I discovered was a CBS radio show called My Favorite Husband. And this episode that we're hopefully gonna hear a clip of today came out in March of 1950, when my grandma was almost exactly the age I am now. So I want to play you a few clips if it works, and if not, I'll tell you what happens. But in the first episode, Liz and George are waiting for their friends to show up and take them to dinner.
What are you doing, teaching Katie to tell time? Now, Liz, put on a dress and get downstairs. That's an order.
Oh, now is the time, Katie. George, I don't have to take that kind of talk from you anymore. Neither do I.
What?
Apparently, you haven't heard that Congress is passing a law giving women equal rights with men. Yeah. Katie.
Oh, women's rights. Is that up again? Well, forget.
Oh, no. The 22nd Amendment is going through if we have to fight it to the finish. And we will.
Yeah. Put up your dukes.
Now, don't get carried away. I'll handle this.
You'd better go downstairs now, Katie.
As an employee, yes, sir. As a woman?
Now, get dressed, Liz.
Yes, master. You better enjoy your power while you've got it, Mr. Man. It won't be long now.
Oh, it won't?
No, sir. When Congress passes that amendment, I'll no longer be an enslaved woman. I'll be a free man.
Okay, I'm gonna skip ahead.
Here it is. It is time the women of the world stop being chattel. Arise, assert yourselves, and soon the country will resound to the ringing of the Liberty Bell, ringing out for women's freedom. There it is!
doorbell.
Ew.
Who is it, Katie? Mr. Atterbury and his whimpering slave.
One more here.
That was Pauline Revere. Liz is off on a kick about women's rights. I suppose you've been getting it too, Mr. Atterbury.
Well, let's go eat, really.
Women's rights?
Sure, Iris, you know, that amendment they're putting through Congress. We're going to be free, Iris, free!
We are?
You must have read about it. It's been in the news for weeks.
Well, let's go eat, really.
Now, that explains it. For the last month, somebody's been cutting things out of our paper.
Why, Mr. Atterbury.
Well, let's go eat, really.
Rudolph.
Just trying to keep you from getting any silly ideas, Lotus Bud.
So long story short, after a conversation, these two couples decide that the women in the relationship will switch places with the men. And so the men stay home and do the cooking, cleaning, ironing, and the women go to work and smoke cigars. And I just want to play you one more clip that what you find after a week of swapping places, this is what they've learned.
Wait, just a minute. This is no way to act. Fighting and trying to deceive each other. As a matter of fact, George and I decided something this afternoon.
What?
Well, tell them, George.
Well, we don't like doing housework.
Well, as long as we're being honest, Iris and I aren't exactly crazy about earning the living either. It's tough.
Well, shall we go back the way we were?
Okay by me.
Hey, wait a minute. What about equal rights for women?
Kiss me, master.
Come here, slave.
Whew! And a UU woman pointed out to me the last time I gave a sermon a little different using a clip. She said, you do know that that 22nd Amendment was never passed, giving women equal rights. I was like, what? And it wasn't. 22nd Amendment is about term length for presidents. So think of how many people must have been listening to the radio waiting for my favorite husband to come on. And think of how the content of this show and many others like it shaped our society. Think about how what the characters said would teach you about the way you're supposed to see yourself as a man in our society, or how you're supposed to see yourself as a woman in the world. And think about how my favorite husband taught its listeners the right way to be masculine and the right way to be feminine. If you want to have that glorious, safe feeling of belonging in our society. So this is the message that's been spreading through the web of human connection in different ways for generations. And we've been listening consciously and subconsciously, all of us, men and women. There's recently a study conducted, you may have heard about, where two identical resumes were given to employers. One had John written on the top, one had Jennifer written on the top. And men and women were more likely to want to hire John, more likely to want to mentor John, see him as significantly more competent, and offered him on average $4,000 more a year just by knowing the name and assuming the gender of the applicants. So it's not 1950, and yet we are still listening to this message that men have more worth than women. And sometimes that message is passed on purposefully and strategically, but so often it's passed down accidentally, not intentionally. I cannot think for a second that most of the people in that study, as they were looking at people's resumes, were thinking, women are definitely worse than men. Sure, it wasn't a conscious thought. It's more that the message that women have less worth is an unconscious underlying assumption that I would argue, in our connectedness as human beings, we all carry, men and women, to some degree and in some way. So the message we ingest is that girls, and eventually women, are more likable when they are overly accommodating, when they stay out of the way. Girls are well-behaved when they keep opinions to themselves. Girls are not liked when they challenge other people's opinions or ideas. No, girls are successful and noble when they follow, not when they lead. So it's no wonder to me that Willow, the little girl in our children's story, has some trouble finding her voice at first. She needs her dad to believe in her, to find it fully. And as a result of both the subconscious undercurrents and the blatant, clear, intentional anti-woman rhetoric around the world, out of 197 heads of state, 22 are women. Women hold just 18% of congressional offices, and of the 500 wealthiest companies, only 21 are headed by women. So in a world where women are 51% of the population, they only have 20% of the say. And our fifth principle as Unitarian Universalists is that we teach that people should have a voice in the things that concern them. And so there's still a lot of work to be done. If there's ever going to be a healthy, robust understanding of human equality spreading through the web of human connection, we are the ones who are going to have to do the spreading. If we are going to spread equality, it's obvious that the world's women have to be supported and encouraged to be their full and true selves. Whether it is celebrating brave souls like Malala, the young girl who stood up to the Taliban and demanded an education, or getting involved in programs that encourage women to get into science and math, or taking time to appreciate and learn about female musicians, writers, artists, historians who have been ignored for too long. We hear a lot lately about how to empower women to be their full, true selves, but what about men? If we are going to spread a healthy, robust sense of equality through the web of existence, our men have to feel encouraged to be their true and full selves, too. And our society has taught for a long time that men should not be in touch with their emotions, and if you are in touch with them, don't share them. Men have been taught in all things to be intensely competitive. So that's traditional masculinity in a nutshell, and I think we see it playing out in many ways. But for example, for a man to walk into a yoga studio, he takes a much bigger risk than a woman who walks into a yoga studio. Because in yoga classes, competition is not rewarded. You spend an hour getting in touch with your truest, deepest self, just being present with all that you're feeling and all that you are. So when a man stands up here and shares something during community candle, some personal joy or pain that he has felt, he is setting down a piece of the traditional masculine power. And when a man does half the housework and half the parenting at home, he is setting down a piece of the kind of masculinity that gives men the wrong kind of power in society. And it's as if he is extending a hand out to all the women in his life, showing that he wants to work collaboratively. He wants to co-create society with the women of the world. So think how trapped we have been for generations in these incredibly limiting, restrictive, small ideas of what it means to be a man or what it means to be a woman in our society. And think how powerful it would be if everyone in this room took a few steps away from these traditional identities and we became more truly and fully ourselves. So women, if we feel parts of traditional femininity that are natural to us, we should embrace them. We should be true to ourselves. If that means you really enjoy taking care of other people or wearing makeup and high heels, if it means you choose staying at home to raise your children as the most satisfying career you could think of, do it. Be true to yourself. Just don't silence the parts of your womanhood that society discourages. If you get rowdy at a C-League softball game like I do, do it. If you are extremely opinionated and you want to have an intense debate with someone, do it. If you want to shape the tech industry and win awards in science, that is embracing your womanhood. If you want to be assertive at work, if you want to wear sweatpants to the grocery store, be you. Women are allowed to be strong, competitive, compassionate, loving, emotional, fierce, analytical, all at once. And men, if you feel traditionally masculine in many ways, embrace those ways. Be true to yourselves. And if that means you really like eating big turkey legs at baseball games or playing poker or lifting weights twice a day or being ruthlessly competitive when you play Scrabble, do it. Be true to yourself. Just don't silence the part of your manhood that society discourages. If you've had a terrible day and everything is going against you, shut the bathroom door and have a good cry. If you are dedicated to making sure the top of your souffle is perfect, do it. If you want to kiss your children goodnight and tell them effusively every day how much you love them, be you. And if Gilmore Girls is one of your favorite shows, like it is my husband's, embrace that part of your manhood. Men are allowed to be strong, compassionate, loving, competitive, assertive, and sensitive all at once. But we won't believe this. Women and men, we won't believe we are allowed to be our true and full selves until more of us start doing it. So when we allow ourselves to break out of the strict gender identities society has assigned to us, then we are leading by example in a new way. And our example will extend beyond ourselves. It will radiate through the web of existence. And the more we believe in our own complexity and worth, the more we believe in the complexity and worth of all the other individuals around us, the more positive, a true, honest equality will spread through the interdependent web of existence. And then, in the words of Judy Chicago, all that has divided us will merge. And then compassion will be wedded to power. And then softness will come to a world that is harsh and unkind. And then both men and women will be gentle. And then both men and women will be strong. Blessed be. Amen.